Welcome to the 8th episode of the Building Better Gamers podcast, a podcast where I interview people who apply their passion for gaming in ways that not only help the community, but possibly society as well. As always, the Building Better Gamers podcast is a proud member of the MTG Cast Network. Get your audio fix and all things related to Magic the Gathering at mtgcast.com. Also, this podcast is brought to you by one of my day jobs, Classic Media House. Classic Media House is a cutting-edge multimedia firm providing independent musicians with a collection of a la carte music and media services to advance their careers through promotional campaigns, show bookings, label submissions, and management, starting at only 96 cents a day. Openings are limited, so send your music to info@classicmediahouse.com to see if they can work with you. And tell them I sent you. For this episode, I interviewed Rami, aka Gutsy Geek of GutsyGeek.com. GutsyGeek.com is a dating advice blog that focuses on helping gamers. During this interview, Rami gives us advice on how to approach girls. We also discuss the roles of gender in the dating scene and how they're changing over time. And lastly, we get a little hype over Tekken 7. Hope you enjoy it. Check it out and get you on the flip side.
So this is Rami from GutsyGeek.com. I teach geeks to meet girls.
What inspired you to start GutsyGeek.com?
That's a very good question. I want to say about 5 years ago now, I was learning to meet girls and, I took some pickup classes and all that stuff. And I was getting a lot of questions from my friends. We're all gamers and geeks. And they were asking me stuff like, what do I do on the first date? Or, I'm a virgin, so I'm not really sure how to talk to girls, or I'm really sure like how to get a kiss in. What do I do, to get my first kiss, to get whatever? And I was getting a lot of them. And as people learned from each other that I had good advice, they began asking me for advice as well. So it sort of like rippled out. And at one point I was just like, man, I'm getting a lot of questions from these dudes who are all really cool, but just are clueless with girls. I should just start a website for them and just post whatever's on my mind or what people are asking me the most. And that way they'll have them as a database sort of ready to go whenever they need them. And that way I don't have to just keep repeating myself. I can just be like, oh, you can go check out my site and it'll answer everything you need to know there. It started like that. And it just kind of took off over the course of a few months.
Oh, interesting. So basically people have kind of always been coming up to you for advice. And is that's just the thing that was always happening anyway?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, not always, because before I learned pickup and I learned to meet girls and I learned the ins and outs of dating, I was useless. I was just as useless as my friends were. Once I had learned all that stuff, then they began asking me a lot of questions. So I would say maybe 5 years ago, I began giving a lot of advice, but 4 years ago is when I started the website.
All right. So yeah. When did you discover pickup or like these sources that helped you improve?
Okay. So it was, I had just broken up with my ex-girlfriend or my girlfriend at the time, and I was feeling pretty dejected and miserable about myself. And I was thinking, I am never going to meet someone as good as this person that I just broke up with, right? Or that we broke, because it was sort of a mutual thing. So I was like, I'm never going to meet anyone as good as this. And I sort of was dejected about that and feeling kind of crappy about it for a while. And then one day I was like, wait a minute, this isn't right. There's got to be a resource out there to learn how to meet girls and how to go on dates and that kind of stuff. So I began looking at stuff like dating blogs and dating advice or Ask Men, that kind of stuff. And I found out very quickly it was all garbage, just wretched stuff, like ludicrous.
What turned you off about what they were saying?
Like, go to a bar and buy a girl a drink and then give her a compliment and she'll want to talk to you. And so, you know, I was like, this is garbage. I've been to bars. I bought girls drinks before. They didn't want to talk to me. They drank and they're like, thanks very much. Bye. And they bounced. And so I was like, this is all garbage. This is all useless information. And then a friend of mine said, you know, this guy has been in a relationship for a long time. And he was like, oh, I was reading this cool book by this guy called Neil Strauss called The Game. It's about like a society of people who meet women. You should read it. So I read The Game, thought it was very interesting, tracked down Mystery's website, found his TV show, The Pickup Artist, and I subscribed to his mailing list. And then I met some friends who were like in a similar place. And we began going out and sort of meeting girls and experimenting and, you know, going out like normal people. Right. And then randomly, like 4 months later, I get an email and a phone call from someone who worked for Mystery. And he was just like, hey, man. So I don't know if you know Mystery from The Game. You signed up for his mailing list. He is the guy who trained Neil Strauss, the author. We have a special offer on a boot camp. Mystery is going to be in Toronto, which is like a short drive or a short flight away from where I live, Montreal. And he's like, if you come down, you know, you can get a special price and you can meet him and you can learn from him. And so I went down there. I paid the money. I learned from this guy. And everyone else bailed on that weekend because it was so such short notice. Like there was like 2 weeks before he showed up to town. So I basically got to hang out with this guy for just me and him for like 2 days. And he basically walked me through every step you need to know to meet and attract women. It's very like his method is very regimented and very step by step, which I don't really do anymore. But I found it was really interesting at the time and it was very, very, very effective, especially for a gamer, you know, where we need like step by step instructions, you know? So, and that's basically how I got started. At the end of that, he said, you need to go out. He said, you got the method, you understand it. You now need to practice it. So you need to go out 4 nights a week for the next 6 weeks and approach 10 groups of girls per night. And if we average that out to, like, let's say 2.5 girls a group, that's like 25 girls a night, 100 girls a week, 600 girls in 6 weeks. And that was like my basic training.
Wow. And so after that, after an experience like that, you know, what was going through your mind?
Let me put it this way. Most guys, you know, if they go out enough over the course of a few weeks, they'll get a girl's number and they might, you know, get laid. I was so terrible that it took me 3 weeks of approaching girls at clubs. So 300 girls before I got my first phone number. And she flaked on me. So, like, she didn't respond when I texted her or called her. It took 5 weeks before I got a phone number that was legitimate and I went on a date with a girl. And it took 6 weeks before I actually hooked up with a girl and got laid. And, you know, I was seeing my friends who were going out with me kind of doing the same thing. They were sort of killing it within, like, the third or fourth week, you know? So it showed me two things. First is that you will rarely be more hopeless than I was. I mean, of my friends, I was like the bottom of the pack, if you will, the runt of the litter. But despite my shortcomings and being really crappy at the time, with enough practice, I became really good. So it really taught me that just practice makes perfect when it comes to everything, not just gaming or learning to play a musical instrument, but being social and talking to other human beings, the more you practice, the better you get at it.
After all this training and, you know, finally getting results and stuff, were you considering yourself like a PUA?
No, PUAs, I mean,
Like, have you ever considered yourself one, or?
No, never.
Okay.
There's a lot of stigma around pickup artists, which I feel they don't really deserve, you know? You get, like, one bad apple every now and then, but most of them are just normal dudes that suck with girls that just want to learn from someone who's legit. And right. They're tired of getting online and buying all these get-a-girl-in-one-date scams. And, you know, reading the psychologist advice, which is all garbage, and reading the, you know, ask men advice is also garbage. They wanted someone who's legit, who actually goes out, meets girls, does this properly, and they want to learn from someone legit, right? And so, I mean, the term was pickup artist for a while. Now it's more like they've evolved, they've become like dating coaches, you know? Because, I find pickup artist implies just picking up girls. Which is just like you get a number or you hook up with a girl and that's it. Whereas if you're like a dating coach or a dating instructor, it's more well-rounded. It's like, you know, where do you meet the girl, get her number, go on some dates, hook up, maybe date her, maybe she becomes your girlfriend, and eventually you get married, right?
More about relationship building in general as opposed to just, you know, trying to just get with a chick at some point, yeah.
Exactly. So I've never considered myself a pickup artist because my ultimate goal was never to just hook up with a lot of girls. My goal was to practice and meet a lot of women and get good at it so that when I do meet the girl that I like and I'm really into, that I don't mess it up, right? That I don't do the thing that I'd always done, which is like fall head over heels and then put her on a pedestal and treat her amazingly and then she's sick of the worship and I'm sick of, you know, the weird pedestal I put her on because we're not equal. So I was like, I want to get good at this, be able to meet girls, always have an option so that when I meet the girl that I want, I can look her in the eye as an equal and we can start on equal footing and it'll be good, you know? And that's how I saw myself. So I guess I don't even consider myself a dating coach because I don't coach anybody. I just write about dating and teach geeks to meet girls. That's how I always put it. I teach geeks to meet girls. And if you're already pretty good at meeting girls, you know, you're good looking and smooth talker, you probably don't need my advice. You probably can do it on your own. You're probably just as good, if not better than I am. But if you're a geek and, you know, you're sort of hitting rock bottom and you're 25 and you've never gone on a date, that's cool, man, because I feel you and I can help you because I've been where you are.
So what's the most common issue you see among people that are asking you for help?
I get two questions a lot. The first question is, how do I go up and talk to girls? And it's usually because they're very afraid and they can't really get over, you know, the fear of getting rejected. And the second question I get a lot is, once I'm talking to a girl, what do I say? And these questions are very interesting. The first one comes down to, so the first one is about getting rejected. So it's how do I talk to girls or how do I go up to girls, right? That one is all about fear. That's about overcoming fear. And so it's a lot of these guys are just like, they'll go to bars or clubs or cafes or to the mall or library or anywhere, even classes like university, anywhere you can meet a girl, right? And they're surrounded by girls. But they know the girls are there. They see them. But it's like there's a glass wall between them and they can't reach through to talk to them, you know? And so that's the hard one. It's like, how do I overcome this crazy fear that's building up in my body that's freaking me out to go and talk to a girl? And I always say a few things. So first, it's fear, right? It's just fear that's stopping you. And the fear is of you getting rejected, right? The fear is you walk up to a girl, you're like, hi, and she's like, oh, what do you want? Go away. And it's a no. And people are just so afraid of that no that it's like debilitating. So what I always tell guys that are stuck in this phase, I'm like, just go out there and get rejected. Don't make your goal, I want to, you know, have a romantic love affair with this woman. I want to go, you know, walk off into the sunset with her. Don't make that the goal. Make the goal. There's a girl standing over there. Go get rejected. My goal is to walk up to her, say hi, and have her reject me. And I want to say like 95% of the time, the guy will go up to her and say, hi, I'm X. Nice to meet you. And she'll be like, hi, how's nice to meet you? And she'll kind of look at him and he'll look back. He'll maybe say a few, mumble a few things. And then, okay, it's nice meeting you. And he'll bounce. And the guy will usually come back shocked. Like, oh my God, she was so nice. She didn't, you know, tell me to fuck off. She was like, oh no, you know, hello, how are you? And maybe it was awkward and maybe she wasn't interested, but they don't reject you in a horrifyingly brutal way that people think is going to happen. You know, it's not like she's going to bring out a hatchet and stab you or something. She's just going to say, not interested or nice to meet you. And that's it. It just ends sort of on a whimper. And so most guys, once they get rejected that first time, they're more relieved than anything else. And they come back and they're like, oh, hey, that wasn't so bad, actually. the big explosion and the death they expected to happen didn't happen. So that's one of the things I tell them is that. The other thing I tell them is, because there are some guys that are just so freaked out, they can't even walk towards the girl they're interested in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever experienced that where you just see a girl and you're just like, oh my God, I gotta go, I can't do it, and you just kind of seize up. So for those guys, I created a blog post a while ago about this. And it's, I gave him a bunch of funny tips. So the first one is just start walking in that direction, right? One foot in front of the other and just start walking. And before you know it, you'll be there. If that doesn't work, try instead walking to, like, let's say the bathroom. So you get up, you go to the bathroom, and then on your way back, you're sort of more relaxed because you're walking. And then it's easier to take a detour and go there. It's easier when you're already in motion to go there than if you're just kind of idling against the wall. Another trick I tell them to do is visualize. So close your eye and see this girl with your eyes closed. And then she looks pretty good, I'm assuming, if you're interested. And then visualize her with a beard. and then add like a giant mole on her forehead. And, you know, add whatever other debilitating feature you want to add. Because maybe you're into beards, and maybe that's not going to stop you. I don't know. Add whatever turns you off. And then most guys, when they do that, they start laughing, kind of like you just did. And I'm like, doesn't seem so scary right now, right? Yeah, because honestly, she's a human being. She's not a monster, you know? And it's just in your mind, you're putting her on this pedestal that she's this untouchable goddess. When the reality is, she's just a girl. She's nice. She's probably a normal human being. She's probably very nice. She poops just like everyone else, you know? And that's the last method I used to get over them. And the one I learned when I was on boot camps and stuff like that, and the one I learned from my friends as well, is the 3-second rule, which is the moment you spot the girl, you have 3 seconds to go and talk to her. Don't think, just 3 seconds, go. And that doesn't give you enough time to build up the fear. You know what I mean? I learned with my friends about the 3-second rule in a very funny way, because they were sort of, I never had the fear of talking to someone. I would just go up and talk to them. But some of my friends had a little bit of that fear. And what was funny is, if they spot a girl and in 3 seconds they don't go talk to her, I would just walk up and start talking. And so they learned that if they don't go talk to her within 3 seconds, I'll do it. And funnily enough, last year I was at a club with a friend of mine, and I turned and I saw a really cute girl at the bar. I was like, oh, she's nice. I want to go talk to her. And I start walking towards her, but there are these two people talking in front of me that sort of get in my way and block me. And I was like, damn it. And as I turned to get around them, my buddy gets past me and slams into the bar next to her and starts talking to her. I was like, you sneaky bastard. I got blocked by these two people that are drinking and you just spun around me and started, what? All right. So those are the 3 tips I recommend. So one is get in motion. It's easier to start to get to her when you're already walking there. The second is visualize her with some funny beard or wart or mole or something. And the third is the 3-second rule. It's the classic one. Now, the second question I get, which is very often, is what do I say to her when I'm there? And what I always tell everyone is there's no magic opening line. There's no, you know, super sexy magic spell, 8-word thing you can say that's going to get her to like you. It doesn't work like that in the real world. She's not, you know, a robot that is programmed and, oh, when you put in this keyword, you win, you know? She's a human being, and with one girl, you can say something and she'll love it, and with another girl, she'll say something and you'll say something and she'll hate it. So what I always recommend is just go up, and first thing you do is you introduce yourself. Hi, my name's Rami. Hi, my name's Scott. And you put out your hand for a handshake. And what this does is you make eye contact, you clearly enunciate and you speak to her, she speaks back, and you touch her hand. And so what that does is it gives you eye contact, a first few words out that are pretty easy. I don't think you're going to forget your name anytime soon. And you get physical contact. You touch her hand. And that already gets you farther than you've probably ever gotten before. And then once you're there, you start talking. And guys always say, yeah, but what do I say, man? What do I say? And I always say, listen, when you're with your friend and you're having a conversation, do you ever run out of things to say? Scott, when you're with your friend, do you ever run out of things to say?
Of course not, because there's like already a connection established. We're aware of our interests, and so no.
So what I recommend then is, let's say one day you're with your friend, just take note of how you start conversations and what you say to each other. And then write it down and just memorize it, just to see, like, oh, what do I say when I'm out of ideas? What do I say when the conversation stalls? Because what you want to do is you want to get in the habit of just being yourself and having those normal everyday conversations when you meet someone, someone new. You don't need fancy lines. You don't need, you know, secret pickup tricks. You just need to be yourself and sort of have a normal conversation. Of course, there are other tactics, you know, which you can add into that conversation later on. Like, you know, do's and don'ts. Don't ever say anything bad about your friends. Don't ask her a lot of questions. Do talk about your passions. Give her a statement of intent, or like express your interest in her at some point, you know, and so on. But the main thing is you just got to get in there. You got to start talking. And I want you to stay in there for at least 2 minutes. And if you're in there for 2 minutes and you get majorly uncomfortable and you rack your brain and you really can't have a conversation in 2 minutes, then you have my permission to leave. But if you can't stick in there 2 minutes, then all you have to do for the first couple of times is walk up, hi, my name is, shake hands, and then stay talking for 2 minutes. Believe me, if you're there for 2 minutes, you'll come up with stuff to say. And I learned that from my friend Tony D, who's a dating coach. He runs absoluteability.com. Shout outs to Tony.
What was your worst rejection? Most of the time it's like normal, but have you ever had some sort of overreaction happen to you?
Yes. Okay, so I could think of off the top of my head two really bad ones. I think I wrote a post about my three worst rejections on my blog, but I can't remember. You may have to get on there and look them up if you want to find worse ones than the ones that I'm thinking of. I'm sure they were worse. But the ones that come to mind, there are two. One was I approached a girl at a club, and she turned around and looked at me, and I said hello, and she said, "Fuck off." And I was like, "Oh, wow." I mean, look, I'm sure she wasn't a bad person. I'm sure she wasn't, you know, the stereotype here is like, oh, she was a bitch. No, no. No one, you know, she was definitely having a rough night. I'm sure she wanted to just hang with her friends, and she'd had a lot of dudes and go up and talk to her, and she was probably just, like, fed up. And you know what? I was like, okay, she's having a crappy night. I respect that. I'm going to walk away. But inside, I was like, whoa, that was so brutal. So that was one. And then another one that was pretty heartbreaking was I was talking to this girl, and she was kind of into me. She was, you know, sort of into it. She was okay. But turns out I was crashing her friend's birthday party, right? So her friend, who is this, you know, slightly bigger girl. She wasn't bad looking, but I guess she just wasn't getting all the attention that she wanted. She kind of comes over. She's like, "Hey, I don't want you here. Fuck off, man!" And she just shoved me out of the way. And I was like, "Whoa, holy crap! I have never been, you know, full on shoved violently by a girl before. Actually, I don't think I've been violently shoved by anyone before, except, you know, when you're sort of breaking up your friends' drunken fights sometimes. But she just shoved me away, and I was like, okay. I put my hands up, like, "Whoa, relax, I'm chill out." And she's like, "No, back up. And she just kept shoving me away, like, just farther and farther. I'm like, "Dude, your friend's over there. We just went halfway across the club. What do you want from me?" And so I turned around and walked away, and she sort of followed a little bit and sort of screamed abuse at me. But I think it was lost in the crowd. I don't remember what she said. but man, I mean, I think she was drunk and just having a really bad night too. The thing is, in the spur of the moment, you're like, "Wow, that's brutal." But then you think about it for a minute, you're like, "Actually, you know, that's not so bad. I mean, no one got hurt. No one got killed. No one did anything horrible to anyone else. It was all okay. I survived them both, and I have some funny stories to tell." And I looked up my blog post. I actually gave 3 other ones. So if you guys want to get a laugh, get on guessthegeek.com and look up the top 3 times that I got rejected by women.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that bad.
No, they're really not. It's never that bad. That's the thing. It's never that bad. It's in, like, in your head, I don't know what you imagine. Like, she's going to, you know, tell me that I'm a loser, and then everyone's going to laugh and point. But... But the truth is, you walk up and people in a club don't even notice. Like, the only person that notices when you're talking to a girl is you, and maybe the girl, hopefully the girl. The only person who will laugh at you is no one, because no one laughs at anyone who approaches someone. They're just like, "Oh, it didn't work out, whatever." If anything, other guys at the club or bar or cafe or whatever will be envious of you, because they kind of wish they had the balls to go and talk to the person you just did.
So what's your situation like now as far as the dating scene?
Right now, I am dating one woman. We are exclusive. I like her a lot. I think she's wonderful. We've been dating exclusively for about 3 months. And, you know, we had sort of been getting to know each other before then for a couple months as well. Yeah, I am happily paired up with one girl. I thought for the longest time that I would really enjoy being single for a while. And it's true, I was happily single for a couple of years. And I was happily single and hooking up with multiple girls for a long time. But I never lied to them. They always knew there were other girls. And, you know, full disclosure up front. And if they wanted to jump in and keep hooking up with me, they could. And if they wanted to move on, they could do that as well. And I was never judgmental. So, you know, so for a long time, I was dating multiple women who were all okay with it. And they were dating other people and it was totally fine. And, you know, it was interesting. It was a good time. And I thought maybe I would be into polyamory and I would sort of move into that and have a primary girlfriend. But, now that I am dating this one girl, I realize I am actually very happily monogamous. And it's a good place to be. Yeah, I'm very happy. One girl.
That's good. That's nice. What triggered that thought? What brought you to the conclusion that, you know, you should consider taking that next step in the relationship and becoming exclusive?
That's a really good question. So I've been seeing her for a couple of months, and really what it was is more than any other girl I had met, I actually wanted to hang out with her. So, you know, the other girls, I wanted to hang out with them a little bit, you know, sex, maybe a couple of dates, whatever. But this girl, I actually wanted to hang out with her a lot. Like, we would have a great time laughing, mini golf, going to the park, playing with her dog. It was just a good time. I was like, huh, so she's fun to hang out with. The sex is good. why aren't I dating her? And I couldn't come up with a valid reason, you know? Basically what happened was, at a certain point she was like, I don't want to do this anymore, and called it quits. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So we stopped hooking up. And then I was sort of not hanging out with her for a few days. And I was like, man, she was really cool. Why am I not dating her? And I couldn't think of any reason. So I called her up. I was like, hey, you know what? Let's do this right. Let's go on a date, a real date, and see how it goes. And I want to be exclusive with you, and I'll try it out. No pressure. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I'm not going to marry you tomorrow. But let's just give it a shot and see what happens, you know? And, you know, I'd sort of been guarded emotionally for a long time. So for me to open up and let someone else in was very difficult. And I'm still working on it, but it was a good move. I don't regret it at all. And I'm very, very happy with her. Yeah. I mean, in the end, the whole goal of my website is to not, well, is to do what makes you happy with women. So, you know, for me, it's, I wanted to meet the one girl that would do it for me and I would be exclusive. And that's all I wanted. I just want a girlfriend that I was happy with. For some guys, they want to learn this stuff. So, you know, maybe to explore polyamory or other forms of relationships. And that's totally fine. And some guys just want to get laid. And that's fine too. You know, the key is to just do it openly and honestly. Be honest with yourself about what you want and then go out there and get it. Because the big problem I find with people that have a lot of options is some people that have a lot of options will become monogamous because that's what they're trained to do, but really they don't want to be monogamous and they may cheat on their girlfriend, right? And vice versa. This happens with women as well. They might cheat on their boyfriend. And the truth is, it's not bad to not be monogamous, right? What's bad is when you enter a monogamous relationship, when you're a non-monogamous person, and then you cheat. So if you feel monogamous, then you date one person and it's okay. If you're feeling you're not a monogamous person, don't take that step. Don't date one person, you know? Explore polyamory. Go in to get into a relationship with multiple girls. Let them all know and see if that works for you. But don't go into it because 100 years ago we all paired up and got married and that's what just what everyone does. Don't do that. Because the worst thing you can do to someone is get with them, tell them they're exclusive, and then cheat on them. And the worst thing you can do for yourself is to lie about who you are and what you really want.
One thing I've been thinking about, it almost seems like we're on the verge of another sexual revolution. Femininity, masculinity, the roles that they play in society.
Are evolving. You know,
yeah, yeah. I feel like there's like this next level of openness, I think, is that's that seems generally it's the discussion is out there, mm-hmm. and it seems more more welcomed than before. Mm-hmm. It's expanding beyond the general areas that used to just be talked about. Do you see that happening now more?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think I've ever met as many people who are interested in polyamory as I have in recent years. And the way dating has evolved, it's changed quite a lot in the last few years, especially with online dating and stuff like Tinder. Gender roles as well are changing. I mean, like 80 years ago, women couldn't vote, right? And now we're getting to a point where genders are sort of trying to equalize. And feminism is helping bring women to the forefront and helping to ruin some of this inequality, which I think is brilliant. Not the inequality, I mean feminism. I think feminism is brilliant. So the gender gap is shrinking in terms of like work inequality and rights and social justice and that kind of stuff. But, and this is where the weird shift hasn't happened yet. So women are getting closer to a proper salary and getting treated well in the workplace and have the same rights and our social justice is helping them out and so on and so forth. And they're feeling empowered and that's great. But they're still not asking guys out on dates. They're still not taking the first steps. How many women do you know who propose to their husbands? You know what I mean? So in a sense, women are becoming more like men in a lot of ways, which is good. But men are also becoming a lot like women in that they're not really as assertive. They're not as, stuck in the role of I am the provider. I got to go forward and talk to the girl. I got to take my place. I have to make the first step. So what's happening is you have a whole generation of men who are just like grew up with girls as their friends and we're friendly and we're cool, but they don't really know how to be men and take that first step, you know, and approach. And a lot of women still want guys to take that first step, but because things are more equal now, it's harder, right? So we have this weird place where girls aren't at the level where they're approaching men yet, but guys are at the level where they're no longer approaching women. I don't know. I think I got this guy kind of confusing, but hopefully that makes sense. And so what's happening is the gender gap is shrinking, and traditional gender roles are fading, and it's leaving a space for new gender roles sort of come up, you know? And so maybe the guy approaching the girl isn't the best way to do it. Maybe one-on-one relationships isn't the best way to do things. Maybe it's okay to have an S&M-based relationship where the guy is being dominated, you know? These are all things that before were sort of taboo, and now it's like, no, this is not so bad. It's actually kind of cool. It's awesome. It's liberating. So rather than a guy finding a woman, dating her, falling in love, getting married, but secretly he goes to a dominatrix twice a week and gets whipped, he can actually have this conversation with his wife or girlfriend way before it gets to that point and see if she's interested in the same things. And hopefully he'll end up with a woman who is, right? It's like I always say, if you like having plates thrown, you find a girl who likes to throw plates. I don't know if I answered the question.
No, I think you got it. What I had barely was a question. It was just, you know, an observation. And I'm just glad to know I'm not the only one seeing it. It's
absolutely not. It's happening all over the place. I'm really happy with it. I'm glad women are taking more place and taking pride in their sexuality and who they are and taking their place in this world. And I'm really excited to see what happens with men and how we evolve as well.
Yeah. It's interesting because now we're at this point where you can have a movie like 50 Shades of Grey come out, and then there's these legion of fans, of females, of, you know, these women, like, proudly, you know, putting themselves out there as fans, mm-hmm. you know, supporting a relationship like that. Although, you know, it's a little questionable, but that's a whole different issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting, like, that, you know, that we're taking that level of openness can be brought to the mainstream.
Absolutely. And I'm not a fan of 50 Shades of Grey at all. I thought it was a terrible, terribly written book.
I couldn't finish it. Yeah, I've talked about it before. Yeah, I couldn't finish it. So, yeah.
But it did pave the way for a lot of good conversations. So I'm very glad it was written. And I hope the author makes tons of money, because I didn't like it, but a lot of people did, and it's made a lot of people admit things to themselves, about themselves, and to other people that they maybe wouldn't have before.
So do you ever see an eventual reality where it's okay for women to be more forward? Like, do you feel like, is there something missing?
I mean, I would really like it if girls were more forward. And I have met some girls who have asked guys out. One of my best friends, she does that, and she's like rocking. I think she's awesome. But you just don't see it that often. And it's one of the few gripes I have with this wave of female empowerment. It's, yes, you know, you're taking power in all these other areas, but take control of your sexuality by walking up to a guy and telling him you think he's cute. Do it, you know? The worst thing that'll happen is he'll say no. And we go through this all the time. in fact, one of my friends was at a bar and she saw a cute guy and she went up to him and started chatting with him. She just went up, put her arm around and was like, hi, I'm X, nice to meet you. And they started dating. They've been dating for like 5 years. And it's one of my favorite success stories. I'm like, if more women went up and did that, they might get the guys they want. Because the way the dating sort of – the way the dating scene is structured right now is guys have to go up the girl and talk, right? So there's a lot of pressure on the dude in that, you know, I got to go and do this. I got to make the move because if I don't, it's not going to happen, right? So there's a lot of pressure on men. So guys are going up to girls and talking. But it's not fair to women either because women are sort of standing there passively waiting for the guy to come up to them. But what if it's not the guy she wants? What if she's eyeing the tall blonde guy at the bar and she's approached by, you know, the other guy that she's not really interested in, you know? What if she wants the guy with the beard and she gets the slim, you know, waif guy? Who knows what she wants, but she doesn't get what she wants. So I would like it if more women stepped up and went for the guy they wanted. You know, it would just save people a lot of grief and make a lot of people really happy. Conversely, that's my berating for the women. Conversely, for men, because we're being trained to be more more caring and more sensitive to others' needs, and you know, we're all raised with girlfriends or female friends, sorry, or sisters. We want the best for them. So we're sort of trained to not just, you know, hey, I'm a man. Here's my beer. Let's have sex. You know, we're trained not to be like dumb lumberjacks, and we're trained to be more sensitive to women's needs. And of course, when you approach someone, not to be a complete douchebag and an asshole, right? But the problem is we're given a lot of signals on what not to do. Don't walk up to a girl and grab her ass, for example. Don't walk up to a girl and say, hey, bitch, you know, of course. But we're not trained on what to do. And that's the big problem I'm finding, is all guys know not to do what I just said. Or if they don't, then, you know, they're really just screwed. But they don't know what to do, right? It's like, okay, if I go up to a girl and start talking to her, I'm a creeper. But if I don't go up and talk to her, then I don't get anything. So how does it work? And often we end up with this really shitty situation where if you're a handsome guy and you're exactly what she wants and you go up and talk to her, you're a hot guy. But if you're like, you know, sort of disheveled and not very good looking and you walk up to her, then she'll be like, oh my God, what a creeper. And then you're a creep. And that's like, that's horrible. So I feel like men really, we sort of lost our place. We're not supposed to be the dumb lumberjacks anymore. But what are we supposed to be? How can you be both not a creep and at the same time stating your intent and saying, I like you and I want to go on a date with you? It's a very hard place to be. And I've negotiated it as best as I could. And I've tried giving advice on my blog about, you know, being honest and open about your intentions, dressing well, looking decent, and talking in a decent way. But sometimes it just doesn't work and you end up as a creep no matter what.
As guys, we're interested in different types of girls, and girls have different interests in guys. And so different approaches work for different women. But there seems to be this issue where a lot of men out there feel like they're just being berated in general for things that may not work for some girls or may not, you know. Mm-hmm. That may work for others. I guess that kind of leads me to the whole, that video where the girl's walking down the street and the guys are trying to talk to her and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that whole conversation that came up because of that, right? Like, people were saying, well, yeah, guys shouldn't walk up to girls as they're walking down the street. It's like, are you sure that's the lesson we're trying to teach here? Or?
Right, absolutely. It's, I mean, if no man ever walked up to a girl and said, I'm into you, then no one would ever date anyone else. So for it to happen, a guy, that's not true. Some girls do say it first, but most of the time guys say, I'm into you, let's go on a date, right? So we have to do it. If we don't take that step, you're not getting a date. So the question isn't, is it okay or not to go up and talk to a girl? It has to be okay, because what are you supposed to do if it's not okay? If I'm one of my own readers and I play video games on the weekends and with my friends, nothing wrong with games, by the way, huge fan of fighting games. If I play a lot of fighting games and I read comic books and I do all the geeky stuff that I love to do, a lot of these things are very male-oriented activities. How am I supposed to meet a girl? Where am I supposed to meet a girl? People always talk about, oh, let it happen naturally. Bullshit. There's no such thing as it happening naturally. You have to make a move. But how do you make a move if there are no girls around you? You have to go meet a girl somewhere. And where do you meet a girl? Well, the street is one of the potential places. You can meet her as she's walking down the street. You can meet her at a cafe. You can meet her at the mall, meet her at school, meet her at a bar or a club, right? There's no place that you can't really meet a girl. If there's a woman there, you can meet her. So I think the issue with the video wasn't that guys were talking to girls. The issue was maybe in the way they were doing it, you know? If you're too aggressive, it's not cool. If you get a no, it's a no. Walk away. So on and so forth. As long as you do it sort of in a respectful manner where you're not pushing too many boundaries in a mean way, it's okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe it was just in the editing, but it gave this idea that men in general don't know how to properly approach. I think that's kind of what caused the majority of that controversy, I guess. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, when you think of a setting like New York, right? It's mm-hmm. like densely populated. You're passing by hundreds, if not thousands of people at a time, right? That type of environment almost forces you to like mm-hmm. throw yourself out there to sort of an extreme in order to get attention. I don't think it was a good experiment, I suppose, or, you know, proof of concept of anything, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, if you have that same woman walk down the street in Montreal, she probably will get hit on a little bit, but definitely not that much. And if you send it out to Palo Alto where all the programmers are hanging out, I mean, she probably won't get talked to at all. They'll just be like, oh my God, a cute girl, what do we do?
Yeah, that's the irony, right? Like, the more geeks you're around, probably the less you get hit on.
Absolutely. Just because geeks just don't know how to do it. I mean, one of the things I talked about recently is 4 years ago when I was first starting out, I was like, man, you know, I went through so many years of university where, like, I didn't have sex or talk or, like, hook up with any girl for, like, 3 years, right? 3 whole years of my life, nothing. Like, the closest, like, I was, like, a handshake. And I was like, man, you know, no girl wants me. And I asked out every girl I knew, and it just didn't work out. But looking back on that, there may have been girls that were interested. I just didn't notice them because I was oblivious to their signals. And I didn't know how to talk to them. So maybe they were interested, but they didn't want to ask me. And I was sort of talking to them, and I didn't ask them, and it just nothing ever happened, you know? So, I guess what I want to say is it's you can't have a world where guys don't approach girls. The only way that would happen is if girls approach guys. And if we're raised in cultures where women make the first move, we do that, fine. You know, guys won't approach anyone in the streets, no problem. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world where women want to be approached. As you saw in 50 Shades of Grey, what's his name? Christian Grey. He's like a very domineering, very sort of like forward guy. And he sort of puts it out there very quickly. And women like that, as evidenced by the thousands and thousands and millions of fans for this series, right?
Yeah, it's probably going to end up being millions, yeah.
So if if millions of women are into it and into this idea of this dominant man, then it's got to be a reflection of something in our society where women do want to be approached. And not all women, you know, but a lot of them. And so it's not fair to say, I only want to be approached by tall, handsome, sexy businessmen, right? No, it's you can't have it both ways. Either you want to be approached by men and you have to weed through them yourself, or you don't want to be approached, and that's okay too, you know? But it's really, once you get into that fine line where it's like, I only want to be approached by this type of guy, well, it's hard. How are you supposed to put that signal out there? Unless you're going to carry a sign that says, if you're not rich and handsome and tall, I don't want you, then guys that are not rich, handsome, and tall are going to come talk to you. And I mean, it does suck on a certain level. Like, if you're a woman and you walk down a busy street and you get approached like 100 times a second, that sucks. But does it suck to have too much choice? Or does it suck more when you have no choice? And you're a geek living in your basement and you don't have no idea how to talk to girls, you're not meeting girls, and you don't know what to do because you're sad and lonely. I don't know. I don't know which one's worse, honestly. I would say it's worse to be the geek, but I mean, I'm not a woman, so I can't really judge from that perspective. You know, I mean, if you take this as an example, it's the one I always give and laugh about. If you're a guy and you walk into a club and say, I am available for sex right now, who wants it? You are probably going to get zero takers. But if you're a girl and you do that, you're probably going to get a lot of takers. But they may not be the takers you want, right? So on the one hand, you have zero choice. On the other hand, you have choice, but maybe not the choice of the man you want. So it's not perfect for either sex. It's kind of, in a way, I would say it's shitty for both sexes. But it's the world we live in, and you got to work with it. So I'm not sure what the solution is for women. I'm sorry, ladies. I don't teach. I don't give dating for women, unfortunately. But if you ask me some questions, I could try to help you. For the men, though, the solutions are pretty simple. First, look yourself in the mirror and be honest. Do I look like shit? If you've got like a neck beard and a lot of extra weight and a balding top with a ponytail down the back, you may want to like fix your style a little bit. And it's not expensive. Sometimes just going to the barber, spending $20, getting a good haircut will work wonders. Clean up and groom well. Cut your nails. Groom your beard or shave your beard. Floss, brush your teeth. You know, take care of yourself. It's not a lot of effort. It's like 10, 15 minutes a day of grooming kind of thing. Dress better. If you're not sure how to dress, that's okay. Walk into literally any store. There are tons of cheap stores with, you know, where you can like get a full outfit for like $40 or $50, right? Like H&M is one of the cheaper ones, and they have pretty decent gear. $5 t-shirts, man. Uniqlo is another good one. Walk into any store, find yourself someone who works there, ask them to make you an outfit. You know, pants, t-shirt, accessories, whatever you need. Give them a budget. They'll build it for you. And then you can use that as a base. Hell, get that one outfit. I just wear that one outfit when you want to go out and meet girls. and that's the first phase, looking good, you know? Phase two, grow some balls. This part is really hard. You got to go where the women are, and you got to walk up to them and start talking. If you're really freaked out, it's okay. Use the tips I gave you earlier. Imagine her with a funny beard. Start walking and then walk towards her. Or give yourself a three-second rule. But you got to go talk to them. And once you're talking, hi, my name is, handshake, look him in the eyes, you know, try to talk normally, try to have a normal conversation, work towards it. Once you're comfortable talking, get her number, ask her on a date. It's not that hard. People will go on dates all the time. And then go from there, you know, but it's got to start with you first. If it's hard to say this sometimes, but I will say it. If you're like 400 pounds and 5'3" dress really badly and aren't well-groomed. If you look like shit, and I hate to say it, but it does happen. If you look like shit and you want to get like a super hot supermodel, it's not going to happen, man. You have to first look at yourself in the mirror and say, why do I look like this? It's because I don't care about myself? Well, start caring. Care a little bit. Care enough to at least groom and work on yourself. You don't have to be a supermodel. You know, I've got a bit of a gut. I have a beard that's often unkempt. And I, as you can kind of hear through this, I talk through my nose, so I sound like I'm congested all the time. It's okay. I work with them. But I dress decently. You know, I don't buy expensive clothes. I just buy nice-fitting clothes. I groom as often as I can. Sometimes I get a little scruffy, but it's okay. And I look decent. If you put me in a lineup of guys, they would say I look above average. But not because of my actual features, but just because of the way I present myself. What I like to tell all my friends is, if you're a 5 or a 4, all it takes is decent clothes, shower and a shave, cut your nails, smell good, and you're a 7. And once you're a 7, that's all you need. The talking will get you the rest of the way. How's that for advice?
Hopefully that'll be helpful for people out there.
I hope so.
So the reason I know you and that I know your blog and stuff is because we're both fighting game fans. I knew you through one of the Tekken groups I'm part of. So
right on.
Yeah. What which fighting games are you most looking forward to?
Well, Tekken is my favorite fighting game, and Tekken Tag 2 right now is by far my favorite. I love it. I've been playing Tekken since I was like, I don't know, 11 or 12 years old. I've been playing Tekken for almost 20 years, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I think Tekken Tag 2 is the pinnacle of what I wanted it to be, because I love the tag game more than the one-player, the one-on-one Tekken games.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Tekken 7, just because for the first time in, like, video game history, there's an Arabic character, Shaheen, who will be coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's from, I think, Saudi Arabia, and he actually is wearing the traditional Saudi headdress.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, a slightly stylish version of a Saudi Arabian traditional costume, which I think is great. And I feel great because I'm Arabic and so are Arabic Canadian, and I just love seeing my people in video games where we're not terrorists or some other, you know, crazy person to shoot at.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
And so I'm very looking forward to that. I'm a big fan of Street Fighter 4 as well. Yeah, Ultra Street Fighter 4 is one of my favorites. I am really enjoying playing that since the new balance patch that came out last month. And I'm kind of excited to see if they will rebalance it again or if they keep it as is. I know they have to release one more patch to fix the Xbox freeze bug, which the game just freezes randomly when you're playing offline.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it happens during tournaments sometimes too, and that sucks when it happens on stream, but it happens. I am also a huge fan of Super Smash, and I was never good enough to be competitive at Smash, but I was good enough to play casually with some friends, and I love playing, like, four-player Smash. So right now, the big thing that my friends and I do is we have 5 to 8-player Smash, depending on how many people are over. So we turn off items. It's on the Wii U, Super Smash, by the way.
Yeah,
Smash
yeah,
Wii.
Yeah.
So we turn off items, we play one of the big levels, and we just go to town. And what's great about 5 to 8-player Smash, it doesn't matter how good you are, anything can happen.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's for gamers that are, like, pretty good at the game, you won't be last, but you may be in the middle, you know? And people who are really good, you may be in, like, top 3 at the end of the match. But even if you're the best in your friend group, you might still get beat down just because there's too many people and too much stuff happening on screen. So those are the 3 games that I'm happiest about right now. The ones I'm looking forward to are Tekken 7, USF4, if there's a balance patch, I'm really looking forward to that. That's really it, to be honest. I don't really know what the next generation is going to bring. Street Fighter V is too, It's too early to tell if it's going to be good or not. I don't know, what fighting games are you into right now? Or what are you excited about? Let's put it that way.
I mean, pretty much the same thing. I'm kind of waiting and seeing how games like Mortal Kombat X and Street Fighter V and a couple others are going to develop before I start, like, actually gaining a real interest in it. I really am the most interested in Tekken 7.
Awesome.
It's funny that you say you're actually, like, a fan of the tag.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think a lot of people would agree with that. They feel mm-hmm. like the game has kind of just been overtaken by the the Rage Netsu system and the tag crashing, that it's kind of just like sort of ruined the game for them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, because those players grew up with probably Tekken 5 and Tekken 6. I've been playing the series for a long time, and Rage and Tag have been in the game since like 1997. Or 98, with Tekken Tag 1, the first one. In Tekken Tag 1, when your character would get hit too many times, your backup character got Rage. And he could come in and kill you with, like, 3 normals. Not even a combo. If you were playing Baek and Hwarang would eat, like, 1 combo, which is 5 hits. You could tag in Baek and do down forward 4-4, cancel down forward 4-4. And if the guy ate them both, he would be at 20% health.
Wow.
Yeah. So, my generation is the one where Tekken Tag was king, and that game was all about, like, cool combos you could do with 2 characters and cool interactions and that kind of stuff. So, for me, Tekken 4 was a bit of a step backwards, as was Tekken 5 and 6. And when Tag 2 came back, I was like, oh, man, this is everything I want in a fighting game. It's got all the cool stuff from the newer ones. So walls, just frames, and the bound mechanic, and also all the extra moves. But it's also got a lot of new weird stuff, like tag crashing, so you don't die in one shot, and character friendliness, like Netsu and Rage and negative effects you get from that, and a bunch of really cool tag throws. I mean, It's really everything I want in a fighting game. And I just wish that more people were on board, but the barrier for entry is so high, because you have to memorize all of your moves for both your characters, then combos for every situation, then moves from the people you're fighting, so all the matchups. Then you got to learn, like, the wall situations and the level situations. And once you've mastered, like, all the combos, all the punishes, all that stuff, you still have to master spacing and movement, which... you can't win without at a high level. So I understand why some players are just so frustrated. And I totally understand why Harada made Tekken 7 the way it is, which is much simpler, toned-down cast, no more tag mechanic, and super arts and armor moves sort of reduce the mix-ups and make the game a little simpler. Even the ground options are simpler. Like, you can do a... What is it, when you're on the ground, the one where he stays on his back and has like a little toe kick?
Yeah, yeah.
You can do that into a roll, so you're pretty much safe on Wake Up Forever.
Yeah.
So I find, you know, it's a bit simplified, and maybe I would like it, I like it a little less maybe, but I don't know. I'll keep an open mind until I play the game.
So since we're still on Tekken 7, what did you think of Lucky Chloe and sort of the outrage that came from her announcement? Yeah.
I mean... She's like a typical little schoolgirl anime character, right? And why not? She's hilarious. Why not? You know? I mean, people are going to complain about Lucky Chloe, but not Alyssa or Xiaoyu, you know? Xiaoyu's a little anime schoolgirl. So is Miharu. Alyssa is like a robot fetish anime fantasy. Lily is like a for realsies a schoolgirl with like a posh little skirt and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, they're like, you know what, people like this, let's just take it to the next level. And they come up with Lucky Chloe. And I'm not gonna say no to that kind of stuff. Why not? Tekken's all about ridiculous characters. You've got like a fighting T-Rex with gloves, You've got a teddy bear who's trained in martial arts. You've got a giant demon ogre from beneath the earth. Three fighting robots. I mean, if people are complaining about a little girl, she's the least weird character.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because I think people were upset. They were obviously appealing to the that otaku culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like she has like pop star elements and just very, very otaku.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it sells, then that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, you got to give people what they want. So you've got a small minority online saying, oh, you know, I can't believe they would pander to this crowd. But if they're pandering to that crowd, it's because it's going to sell and because people want it, you know. So give the people what they want, man.
I think a lot of people are concerned about the lack of characters announced so far. What characters do you usually play?
Oh, man, all of my characters are missing.
Yeah, me too.
I play Yoshi, Ogre, Armor King, Miguel, and Beck, and none of them are in this game.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are coming back.
And so, I'm assuming, well, right now we've only seen like a small part of the cast. I'm assuming it'll be like before where there's time release characters. Yoshimitsu has been in every single Tekken since the beginning.
Well, yeah. I think he has to come back. Yeah. His ending in 6 was like kind of interesting. I wouldn't say he died, but it had like, it kind of left you in this, okay, so what's left for him to do? Like what?
Yeah. Like either he kills Brian or Brian kills him. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. If he dies, it's not a big deal. The next Yoshimitsu will take up the mantle, you know? And if he kills Brian, it's not a problem because Brian's a cyborg, blah, 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 and he's already in the game, so he's basically unkillable kind of thing. I'm honestly more worried about... I play Yoshi. I used to play Yoshi as my main, but he's too low tier, so I've been playing other characters to go along with him so that I have... I don't just get massacred, right? So I've always played a bunch of characters as well. And my team for the last little while has been Miguel and Armor King. And the problem is twofold. One, if there's no Yoshi or any of the other guys in the game, then I have to learn someone new. And two, if Yoshi is in the game, chances are he's going to be low tier, meaning I'll have to learn a whole bunch of other characters to go along with him.
Yeah, or just hope you can gimmick somebody out.
Gimmicks will only get you so far. I placed 25th at Evo last year.
Nice.
Thank you. Mostly because I lost the first match to someone who was more gimmicky than I was. the very first game, actually, and I had to fight my way through losers. And the big problem there was if I had a more solid character, I could have, I felt, fought my way through it, through him, rather. But because Yoshi is just not very good in a lot of ways, you basically need your opponent to make a mistake to win.
Yeah.
And so, like, for example, Just Frame James, who was playing Yoshimitsu, he got top 8 at Evo.
Right.
Freaking amazing. But I saw him play, like, the top 8 matches, and he just got crushed. And it was sad because he was playing, like, the most amazing Law ever. He's so good with Law.
Yeah.
He's just mind games and spacing, and he's magnificent, this guy. I love the way he plays Law. And then I watched him play Yoshi, and I was like, dude, you can't do this at top 8. It doesn't work. Like, he was trying some shenanigans. They didn't work. He tried to use good spacing and good moves, but Yoshi doesn't have many good moves. And he just lost. And I felt like he was an insanely good player. I feel like if he hadn't played Yoshi, he could have easily gotten top 3, you know?
Yeah, I'd say so.
And because I've seen him beat players who were just playing insane teams against him. Like, you know, Bob and Brian against him, and he'll still win, right?
Yeah.
But when you get to top 8 Evo, where everyone's at the top of their game, and even if you're at the top of your game, if your character isn't strong enough, you're just not going to make it. So, you know, he's been learning other characters recently. I really hope to see Just Frame James freaking kick ass at Evo and get, like, I mean, if he were to win Evo, I would love it. But I don't think that would be possible because JDCR exists.
Yeah. Yeah, that's this is going to be an interesting Evo because, mm-hmm. you know, it's Tekken 7 in arcades.
Yeah.
I mean, it so blatantly gives, you know, the Korean and Japanese players such an advantage.
Yep.
You know, like, we're kind of just giving it to them.
Yep.
I'd be curious to see, you know, how far Americans, you know, will have to go in order to get some sort of, you know, in order to get on even footing somehow. I'd be curious to see how that's going to work out. Some guys are going to have to seriously, you know, start traveling.
Yeah, I would like to see that. Thing is, if I could just say something funny about Evo is that, honestly, even if they didn't have the advantage, I think JDCR would still take it. Just because I played him at Evo in a 1-5. I played a lot of people in, you know, 1-3s, 1-5s.
Okay.
And I beat a lot of top players. I lost to a lot of top players. But I never felt like anyone was untouchable, you know? For example, I played Core in a money match. We kind of do this every year. And he beat me, I think, 5-3 or 5-2 pretty badly. I didn't feel like he was unbeatable. You know, I felt like he just had good reads, good spacing, and I played a little badly and he got me. Whereas, not Stage Core is bad. Core is amazing.
He's good.
But just, I didn't feel like he was unbeatable. You know, I felt like maybe if I had enough time to play him and we'd had, you know, if I lived near him and I played him a lot, I would sort of catch up and be at his level.
Right.
But with JDCR, I just felt outclassed. So I played him in a 1-5. I didn't win a single game. The closest I got was last round of one of the matches. And he still just, at the last round, he adapted like 3 times to me and just took me out. And I was like, man, this guy is just so good. It's so good. I was so impressed by the way he plays, his spacing, his game. It's very, very simple. He doesn't do anything spectacular or anything complex, you know?
Yeah.
It's just solid spacing, solid mind games, solid defense, and good execution. And it's like it's like playing against someone with just a really, really strong rock, paper, scissors. And I was so impressed. I was so impressed. Because I'd seen him on stream. I was like, oh, he's good. You know, I wonder what it's like to play him. Well, I found out. And what it's like to play him, it's like you're fighting a wall. So I've been practicing extra hard because this year I would like to face off against him again and beat him a little bit. I don't know if I'll beat him a lot, but I'd like to win at least one of the games if we free money match. You know?
Right. Well, he was using his main team?
Yeah, I asked him specifically to take his main team against
him. Okay.
Yeah. He's a very nice guy, too. He gave me some tips and everything. Just such a humble guy and so good.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about Armor King actually from him when we played together.
He's definitely going to be the guy to look out for at Evo.
Absolutely. And actually, you know what? I'm just going to do if you don't mind, I would like to just make a quick tie between fighting games and meeting girls.
Sure, yeah.
So you play fighting games. Have you ever lost?
Oh, yeah.
Is it horrible when you lose?
Generally, no, but I can, you know, it can get circumstantial at times where you feel like you almost had it or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. You ever feel like a soul-crushing horror when you get beat?
I wouldn't say so, no.
No? Does it make you want to keep playing when you get beat?
Yeah, of course.
If you just replace getting beaten at fighting games with getting rejected by women, you have the recipe for being good with girls. So let's rephrase that. I'll just ask you the same questions again, and you give me the same answers, but this time we'll apply them to women. So you talk to women. Have you ever approached a girl before?
Yeah.
Have you ever been rejected?
Yeah.
Was it mind-numbingly horrifying?
No.
Did it make you want to stop talking to women forever?
No.
You've just given me the exact same answers you gave me with fighting games, but with rejection. And so if you take your fighting game mindset, right, which is I'm going to lose. It's okay. It's part of a learning process. It's going to make me stronger. I will get better at it. And how good I get depends only on my drive, not on the game itself, right? It's all about how much time you put in. If you take that mindset and apply it to women, it's exactly the same. You're going to get rejected. You're not going to be good right away. You're going to want to try to get better. And with enough practice, you will. And it all depends on you. It's not about her or the women around you or whatever you have access to. It's all about you and whether or not you have the mentality to do it and how far you want to go. You know, some guys want to have a harem of women. And some guys want to get laid every night. And some guys like me want to get good enough to have a girlfriend. And how far you go just depends on you. So you just got to ask yourself, how far do I want to go with girls? And how much time and effort am I willing to put to get what I want?
Well said.
Thank you. That's why I read a blog.
Is there anything else you would like to promote?
Yeah. So you know what? Please go to gutsygeek.com. So that's gutsygeek, one word, .com. Check out my blog and sign up for my mailing list. You're going to get a lot of really cool free emails. I'm not going to charge you anything for any of the advice I give you. If you need some help with girls, feel free to write me. I'm always available. You'll get my email when you sign up for the mailing list. You get a free ebook on how to have the perfect first date when you sign up for the mailing list. And the reason I'm pushing the mailing list hard right now is because over the next 3 or 4 months, I will release my first book, which is The Geek's Guide to Getting the Girl. And if you're on the mailing list when the book's released, you get a discount. So get on there, get a discount. Some of you are going to win a free copy. And I would appreciate it if you got on my list. The more people on there, the better it is for me, the better it is for you.
A big thank you to Rami for his time. I really enjoyed talking to him, and I would love to have him back on the show very soon. Since we talked, Tekken 7 has been getting beta tests all over the world, and it turns out Shaheen, the character he was most excited about, is the best character in the game so far. Every tier list I've read has him right at the top. I'd love to hear his opinions on Shaheen as well. Also, since I'm trying to have him back on, send me any questions you have about dating, and we'll discuss them right here. You can send them to our Twitter at BuildBetterGame or on Facebook.com/BuildingBetterGamers. Last couple shoutouts go to Classic Media House, MTGCast.com, and you guys for listening. Thank you so much. You'll hear from me again sooner than later. And until next time, be every bit the hero you play, because everyone is a hero. Even if the only person you've ever saved is yourself. Peace.